first off, can you give us a sense of just how serious an issue summer learning loss is that you talk about in the piece?
Well, summer learning loss was first identified by a college professor in New York in 1906 when he gave two groups of students the same set of math questions to answer in June and when they returned to school in September. They did much better on the little quiz than they did in June than they did 3 months later. Now, in the past century, our measurements have become much more sophisticated, and researchers have found not only that summer learning loss persists, but that it is greater for children from low-income families. On the average, low-income students are a year and a half behind their middle-income peers after fourth grade and 3 years behind after eighth grade. And the researchers have found that about two-thirds of that gap in learning is caused by summer learning loss.
So tell us then how the Learning Collaborative was created to tackle and address this problem.
Well, 5 years ago, when she was working in the Delaware office of Teach for America, Catherine Lindroth started getting calls from community centers in Wilmington, and they wanted to know if TFA core members might be available to work after school, tutoring children at the centers who were falling farther and farther behind in school. Scheduling issues made it impossible to meet the request for after-school help, but Lindroth thought that a summer program might benefit the community centers and also provide additional teaching experience for members of the TFA core. So in the summer of 2014, she launched the Summer Learning Collaborative with programs at five community centers. Eventually, the collaborative was spun off from TFA into a separate operation, and it has grown steadily since then.
Exactly how much has it expanded since that start?
Well, by last summer, 2017, the program had expanded to 12 sites, serving about 2,000 students in kindergarten through eighth grade. And it functioned at two levels, with the collaborative primarily serving younger children and an operation known as Tyler's Camp, offering programs for middle school grade levels. This year, the collaborative had operations at 19 sites, ranging from Wilmington as far south as Laurel, including five Tyler's Camp programs, and overall it reached 2,700 students. Besides serving community centers, it has cooperative agreements, which include the use of school sites with the Red Clay and Colonial School Districts. In addition, several charter schools and two private schools that serve low-income students are funneling some of their students into the collaborative's programs.
So, to walk us a little bit more through how the collaborative works. As you mentioned, it's not a standalone program. It's kind of integrating with a lot of different people.
Well, that's true. For years, community centers and organizations like YMCAs and Boys and Girls Clubs have had after-school and summer programs. So they've got the kids. What most of them didn't have was a learning component to go along with the typical summer fun and games. And that's where the collaborative comes in. The collaborative works through the winter and the spring, developing lesson plans in science, technology, and the arts. And then for 8 weeks in the summer, it embeds its teams, which consist primarily of young teachers, college and graduate students, and some high school seniors, into the community centers, where they provide one-on-one reading instruction and two periods of group activities every day. What's important here is that the collaborative doesn't start from scratch. Rather, it builds on these existing programs. As Matt Meyer, the Newcastle County executive, told me, it takes the assets that already exist and are doing good work in the community and enhances them so that they do great work.
And you note in the piece that the idea is to foster learning without it feeling like the kids are back in school. So can you give us some examples of exactly how they do that within these camps?
Sure. Well, it's all project-based learning, which makes it very hands-on, very experiential. As one of the teacher counselors told me, it's science without saying the word science. The morning I visited Kingswood Community Center in Northeast Wilmington, some of the children were filling glasses with different amounts of water and then tapped on the sides of the glasses with their fingers or with a spoon. As they learned how different amounts of water resulted in different sounds, they began to create some simple musical tunes. Another group was working kind of in an art session. They imagined what they might want to be if they could camouflage themselves. One child wanted to be a tree, another one wanted to be an eagle. And then they took large paper trash bags, they cut a hole in the top where their heads would fit through, and then they drew the camouflage objects on the bags and they showed them off as they walked around the room.
So You also noted earlier, and in the piece, that there's some slightly different versions of the program. For example, you mentioned Tyler's Camping for middle schoolers. Tell us a little bit about how they kind of tailor things for different kids and different age groups.
Sure. Well, now, Tyler's Camp, which is named for a Salesianum school senior who was killed in an auto accident 2 years ago, started at Salesianum, and now it operates in five different locations. And its curriculum, as you indicated, is targeted at that middle school age group. So, like the program with the collaborative for the younger kids, well, they don't do reading one-on-one tutoring, but there are a lot of science and math activities. They get into things like robotics and computer coding and engineering and architecture, as well as topics like drama, the arts, and athletics. I mean, over at Salesianum, I talked to a couple of students, one a Salesianum senior, one a grad from a couple of years ago, who were working with the kids on baseball and golf, of all things. So, it's a pretty diverse program. And then interspersed into the day are workshops that focus on things like mindfulness and strength and resilience and gratitude, qualities and characteristics that will help these youths as they become young adults.
Definitely like holistic learning, not just, as you said, kind of academic learning.
Yes, you're absolutely right about that, Tom.
So your piece also points, is there a sense of just how effective the collaborative has been in stemming summer learning losses to date?
Yeah, well, I can give you some numbers that the collaborative developed through the pre-tests and post-tests that it gave for the 2,000 children who participated in the program in 2017. Overall, 86% of these children reversed their summer learning loss, which means they didn't fall any further behind last summer. In addition, two-thirds of them actually showed gains in literacy, improving their skills in vocabulary, in phonics, and in word recognition. So, you know, there's clearly some growth going on here, not only preventing the regression, but also enabling the students to move forward.
And your piece also points out that the collaborative is also somewhat unique in the fact that it's not just operating in the summer, and you kind of alluded to this earlier, it works nearly year-round. What difference does that make, not just kind of living in the summer?
Well, that year-round activity is really essential to the program's success. This isn't an operation that waits until Memorial Day to start planning activities that are going to start up in the middle of June. Rather, in the fall, the collaborative staff and representatives of the participating community centers get together and they assess how the programs worked out during the summer, and then they start making plans for the following year. Throughout the winter, a core team of collaborative workers develops a whole new set of activities. So there is essentially a new curriculum that's available for all the participants the following year. And then by the spring, it's hired staff to work in the summer, and it's begun training them on how to guide the participants through the various activities that are offered during the summer. So it's a year-round operation. The community centers are talking with the collaborative year-round about what they need to do, and the people who are participating in the program, the counselors, the high school and college students who are working on the reading instruction one-on-one and the like, all of them are being trained and they're ready to go when the program starts in June.
And I imagine keeping it fresh is important. I mean, like if you're going to kind of keep kids engaged and interested, if you just come back with the same thing every year, it's not going to work as well.
No, you're absolutely right. You want to have something different every year. Now, I mean, one advantage of the way the collaborative works, too, is that they've got 19 different programs and, quite frankly, 19 different sorts of community centers. I mean, the demographics are, similar. I mean, they're low-income kids and the like. But, each program is a little bit different, and the programs can be tailored as a result. So there's room for some overlap from year to year, but for the most part, yes, there's a fresh curriculum. So, if you learn, for example, the experiment with the water and the glasses and the musical pitch this year, you're probably not going to see that next year.
So how do the schools and the school districts view the collaborative and the impact that it's having?
Well, I can give you a couple of examples here. The Red Clay District was an early partner. They got involved last year in pre-testing and post-testing their students who were participating in the program, and that enabled them also to track how well these kids did during the recently concluded academic year. So they've got a better gauge now on the impact of the collaborative's programs. In addition, Red Clay opened Stanton Middle School, one of its middle schools in the suburbs, to Tyler's Camp for a program this year, which brought kids from a couple of schools in the city out to Stanton, as well as 100 students that Red Clay itself had pre-selected as those who would benefit from this sort of program. Similarly, the Colonial School District jumped on board. It provided McCullough Middle School as a Tyler's Camp site, as well as Castle Hills Elementary, where they ran a pilot version of Tyler's Camp for fourth and fifth graders. Now, on top of all of that, the Christina School District, which is going to be restructuring its elementary and middle schools in Wilmington next year, is considering working with the collaborative on developing a variation of Tyler's Camp that might be used as part of a planned program for either the longer school day or the longer school year that are part of this restructuring program in Christina.
And finally, is there a sense of what's next for the collaborative as it continues to grow and expand?
Well, yes. I mean, simply put, it's growth and more growth. The program is already statewide. Catherine Lindroth would like it to expand from its current 2,700 participants to as many as 7,000 in the next 2 years. Now, that's kind of ambitious, but she'd also like to find a way to offer Tyler's Camp to kids from middle-class families by having them pay some sort of a small fee to cover the services. Now, you realize Tyler's Camp, actually the whole collaborative, operates entirely on grants at this point, with an average cost per participant of about $400, a little more than $400 for the entire summer. So this is a very, very cost-efficient operation, and certainly if they did find a way to get middle school families involved, a fee for a six-week program that's in that $400 average is pretty darn reasonable, actually. Now, finally, what Catherine Lindroth would like to do is to secure some grants from major foundations and take this program nationwide. Now, you and I might think that that's a stretch, and maybe it is, but that doesn't mean that it's impossible.